What do some of your best customers say about the product? I mean, kind of what's the feedback you're getting from them?
I'd say our best customers would tell you that we always deliver what we say.
Good.
I would say, so our churn rate, churn being customer losses, meaning they, you know, they start out with us and then they fire us.
Yeah.
Our churn rate is zero since our inception, right?
Well,
so we've never lost a customer because once they decide to deploy Enfos, the value generation is there, right?
Right.
And I've heard, my job would be much more difficult. I've heard, over the past 5 years, we've lost 3 project managers due to retirements. We were not able to backfill those positions, yet we're still managing the same number of projects. We wouldn't be able to do that without Enfos.
Mike, you missed one though, Mike.
Okay, Mike, what'd you miss, bud?
One of our customers who will go unnamed, but if he ever listens to this, he'll know it's him. He basically said, Roger, Enfos is like crack. Every time you give me something, I want more. And he's addicted. And he's also a funny guy.
Welcome to the Environmental Transformation Podcast, where we talk with industry leaders who are making an impact in their businesses. Each leader is solving complex challenges and providing solutions within their respective areas of expertise. Our host is Sean Grady. He is passionate about helping clients transform their businesses and solving their environmental challenges. And here's our host, Sean Grady.
I'm excited to cover our first software digital innovation topic on the podcast today. Our guests today are Roger Well and Michael Douglas. Roger is a co-founder and executive vice president and chief operating officer for Enfos Inc. The company was founded in 2000 with the sole purpose of developing and supporting the Enfos platform. The software as a service platform is purpose-built for the enterprise management of environmental remediation liabilities and asset retirement obligations. Prior to Enfos, Roger worked in the environmental consulting industry in various roles. He also helped lead a successful joint venture company established by Amoco to manage their U.S. portfolio of remediation sites. Michael Douglas is currently the director of accounts for Enfos and has been with the company for over 11 years. Michael leads the business development efforts across North America and Europe for the company. His experience ranges from healthcare to environmental, having started his career as an intern with the EHS department at Honda. Michael enjoys working with environmental leaders and delivering software technology solutions to help them manage their cleanup of contaminated sites. This podcast is going to be very informative and helpful for those responsible for managing large and small-scale remediation portfolios. So let's get started.
Well, welcome to the Environmental Transformation Podcast. Mike Douglas and Roger Wells, thank you for joining. We're going to talk about the Enfos software product, and I wanted to thank you guys for joining the show today. And, let's talk a little bit about the product, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about the story behind Enfos and how you got to where you are.
Sure. Thanks, Sean, for having us. It's a great opportunity, and hopefully some of the Enfos followers in our marketing channels will link into this and find all your podcasts of interest, which I know I have, so we appreciate it.
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you, we have a very fascinating story about our startup and our background. Craig Modisette is the founder and CEO of Enfos. And I'm one of the co-founders, along with our chief technical officer, Sandeep Degra. All three of us, obviously, are still with the company. We started Enfos back in 2000. We had a very big vision, but no customers. So it was, a typical startup, high risk venture that we jumped into. And it's been fantastic. It's been a great ride all along. And, we really do feel like that we have transformed the industry and have a lot more to do. the vision when we started Infos, it certainly was we were starting up as a commercial software developer. Craig and I had spent years in the remediation business as consultants, and we knew there was an opportunity there to, you know, create a new technology, a platform that was cloud-based for organizations that have large remediation portfolios. And the vision was to get them off of spreadsheets and homegrown databases and so on. And that's what we've done.
Right. Okay. So how did you come up with the name Infos? I imagine you guys sat around the table and kind of threw some names out on the dartboard and was just kind of seeing what stuck, huh?
I think that was it. That, you know, I actually wasn't involved in that myself. Okay. But, you know, hearing that from Craig, it certainly was that, right? It was something. It's definitely not an acronym. A lot of people ask us, what does it stand for? And it's not an acronym, but it started out with brainstorming around some acronyms, but it ended up with Infos. And that's the name of the company and the name of the product.
Sure, sure. So Infos is in the business to manage large portfolios of remediation projects, as I understand it. So, you know, what are some of the challenges you guys see, you know, in companies that are looking to maybe reach out to Infos for help?
Sure, sure. Well, yeah, it's a great question. Our first customer is a good example of that. So we started the company in 2000, as I mentioned before. BP was our first customer in 2001, and BP had just acquired Amoco, ARCO, and Castrol.
Okay.
And they were forming a global remediation management business unit. So they had these four very large remediation programs that were doing work, you know, independently, and then they were merging them into one. And what they really wanted to do was to drive out inefficiencies by standardizing and making their financial processes and their site and management information processes and reporting uniform right across a very large global portfolio. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Infos started off doing. Now, the challenges that we've seen over the last 20 something years are very common from company to company, or, you know, government agency to government agency. They are very common. Mm-hmm. So one of those common factors is that they're systemic in nature. They've, you know, these challenges they have about running a large remediation program have been there for a long time. And most of these organizations are mature, but their technologies are not. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of them is remediation has always been a cost center, right? It's not a profit center.
Yeah. No, it's not.
No, you know, that's
nobody wants
money
to talk to the environmental guys.
No, they don't. But a lot of us have made our careers here, like, you know, Sean, you and I have. So it is important, and it does, in some companies, it does get a lot of attention because the liabilities are so large and the annual spend is large. But
sure,
you know, the challenges are, I'm going to just say, are, you know, basic business challenges, right? There are inefficiencies, there are redundancies, there's lost opportunities about getting stale or old information and not being able to use that proactively.
Sure.
And then there's, you know, issues around risks, risk identification, risk management and mitigation and so on. And it's both with the customer organization as well as with the environmental suppliers doing the work.
Sure.
Yeah. And we take that kind of holistic viewpoint.
So when these companies with these large portfolios, they're kind of looking to maybe, you know, standardize their management practices across the portfolio and where they can actually see what's going on, you know, from project manager to project to consultant type thing, you know. So when you're talking to companies, you know, what's the challenge of, you know, walking them through the buying journey of Infos? You know, what does that look like when they're trying to make that decision to say, okay, I think I need a tool. Infos might be the tool.
That's a perfect question for Michael Douglas to answer.
Yeah.
Bring Michael into the conversation, please.
And I wish we had people calling us saying, hey, I'm looking for an enterprise software solution to do this. In practice, it doesn't happen that way. We're often the ones that are going out and finding opportunities with customers.
Sure.
And I mean, so the first part of that is just reaching out to the right people at the right companies. You know, so we do research. You know, Infos isn't designed to just manage one project or a couple projects. It's designed to manage a program. So, you know, we look at company 10Ks and try to get a feel for the size of the portfolio, the size of the program. We're, you know, typically approaching the owner of the business problem, you know, the director of remediation or director of environmental affairs or manager of remediation, sometimes the VP of environmental health and safety. And, you know, just trying to determine if there's a fit. So do the problems that we help other companies with, does that resonate with you or not? And if it does, you know, are you open to having a exploratory conversation to learn more? So that's like half the battle, right? It's just getting the mind share.
Finding who you need to talk to.
Right.
And so a lot of times you're probably, you are talking to like the C-suite level person who, or maybe even the contract procurement CIO type person, right? Who's going to have to, you know, maybe agree to implement this type of software in their business.
Yeah. Well, and eventually those people get involved. So one of the steps in our process, you know, we call it a business capability assessment.
Sure.
It's basically a workshop that Roger and myself and some other folks from our team will get involved, but we lead a 1 to 2 day workshop with a client where they're bringing in the other stakeholders that would need to be involved in a decision like this. And we're kind of mapping out their as is, what their 2B would look like with Infos, talking about the business case and the, you know, cost savings, efficiency gains, that sort of thing. But the key to that is having everyone in the room at the same time so that we're all working from the same sheet of music.
Right. Because if the one guy who's really the big heavy on the decision maker is not there, you stall out for a while, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. You just fall into the perpetual follow-up.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, so what are some of the challenges that you've had with companies embracing the management of change and implementing a software like Infos?
Well, as with most things, the first step is admitting that you have a problem, right?
Nobody likes to do that, do they?
and then you got to agree that it's a problem worth fixing, right?
Right. Yeah, right.
Assuming that, you know, we've done a good job with that, it's helping someone understand like what the future possibility or potential looks like. You know, what does my world look like once we put this platform in place? Mm-hmm. You know, what am I able to do now that I wasn't able to do before? What can I do better? And then again, the key is bringing in these other stakeholders from IT and from finance and from legal. And, you know, a lot of times that's the biggest challenge, right? You know, I'm just remembering, so a few years ago, a director of remediation at a very large chemical company, he said to me, hey, Mike, when someone like me sees Infos, we get it. Get it right away.
Sure.
The next thought that goes through my head is, how in the heck am I going to navigate this through all of the, you know,
the web
blockers and tacklers in the organization, right?
Sure, right. Well, I'm sure that's a challenge. I'm sure to identify those people and to get them to buy in and build that consensus to get an agreement in place with some of these large companies. So, you know, for the listeners, let's talk about like, you know, I think there still is a mystery about what Infos really does. You know, what's the value prop? What does it do? Like, you know, if you're a project manager that's managing remediation projects, how is Infos going to help you? What's it do?
Yeah, great question. I'll take that on and Mike can jump in.
Okay.
The, you know, Infos is a enterprise application that is built with the customer, the owner of the liability, let's say the responsible party, it's really developed with that framework in mind. And you know, those organizations, if they're publicly traded organizations, or even if they're not, they have disclosures and reporting to do. So, you know, first and foremost, we always will say that Infos is the operating system or operating platform that manages the remediation liabilities. So all the known liabilities, what's probable and estimable. It does all the financial aspects associated with those accounting standards around environmental remediation obligations and asset retirement obligations. So that's really the foundation of it is, and every one of our customers is using Infos for that. So it's the life cycle forecasting, the changes through time, why are the reserves or provisions changing? You know, why are we taking these adjustments either up or down? Mm-hmm. How are we progressing on our sites and projects? So that's at the high level. Now, from there, you get down into more detailed project management functionality around financial information on projects. So that's scope control and cost control and schedule management. And then Infos also goes into the technical data management. So the field data, the laboratory data, and so on. And that's really one of our core tenets, Sean, is data in context. Mm-hmm. So management information, financial information, environmental data information, and let's say remediation compliance information, all together, when joined, provides the highest value for that organization, right?
Sure,
so if you're the director of remediation and you're, you know, reporting to a senior VP on your liabilities and your annual spend, you're using Infos as the operating platform to execute the work, but also to plan it and manage it as well.
I see. So individual managers and or, you know, consultants can actually, you know, track their progress of the remediation activities. They can upload documents to the system for, you know, finding for auditing purposes or things like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have document management really spread out through most of the modules because there's always some kind of supporting documentation, right?
Sure,
if it's a lifecycle forecast based on a site strategy and a conceptual site model, there's going to be documents and documentation that support that. Now, ultimately, that will result in a forecast, you know, following some uniform work breakdown structure. There'll be, you know, like a decision support package. And so on, you know, an invoice document, right? There's the invoice data, then there's the invoice backup.
Right. So
almost everything does have documents associated with it. But yeah, so there, you know, we always look at the content as data, and then there are documents, and the documents are files, any kind of a file.
Right. So you have dashboards available for the managers. They can see progress for multiple projects or the whole portfolio or individual site, I'm assuming.
Sure.
There
are, you know, dashboards with and roll-ups and consolidations within most of the screens.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a separate business intelligence service that allows the Infos data sets to be automatically integrated with the customer's BI application of choice. So the customer can also self-perform their design of custom reports and visualizations and dashboards, and then publish those internally and to their consultants as well.
Okay, great. Oh, that's good. So, well, I mean, what do some of your best customers say about the product? I mean, kind of what's the feedback you're getting from them?
I'd say our best customers would tell you that we always deliver what we say.
Okay. Good.
I would say, so our churn rate, churn being customer losses, meaning they, you know, they start out with us and then they fire us.
Yeah.
Our churn rate is zero since our inception, right?
Well,
so we've never, We've never lost a customer because once they decide to deploy Enfos, the value generation is there, right?
Right.
And I, you know, I've heard, you know, my job would be much more difficult. I've heard, you know, over the past 5 years, we've lost 3 project managers due to retirements. We were not able to backfill those positions, yet we're still managing the same number of projects. We wouldn't be able to do that without Enfos.
Yeah, just think of the institutional knowledge that walks away, but when it's tracked inside a platform, you can get access to that information. You can manage the status of those projects. Yeah, that's, you know, that's a, that business continuity disruption can happen, but without a platform, it's hard to like figure out where things are sometimes, right?
Sure. Sure.
Mike, you know, you missed one though, Mike.
Okay, Mike, what'd you miss, bud?
One of our customers who will go unnamed, but if he ever listens to this, he'll know it's him. He basically said, Roger, Enfos is like crack. Every time you give me something, I want more. And
he's
that was, he's addicted. And he's also a funny guy, the person that said that. And it's, you know, it backs up Mike's point, but, you know, a lot of people do, you know, keep adding on more functionality. They expand through time because they'll start out like maybe with, you know, phase one of an Enfos rollout with certain modules, and then they'll expand and upgrade and add a little more as they adopt it. And that's part of the change management process too, Sean, that you asked about. You know, how do you get people to adopt a new technology and the challenges around that? Sometimes it's you can take a big step, but not the largest step.
Sure. Right. Start small, going. Right?
Yeah. Start small and then the build upon that.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Well, what are some of the features that customers have identified that have they've asked for that help make the program better?
Yeah, a lot. So, you know, I mentioned we started this up over 20 years ago. And Craig and I and several other people had a lot of ideas of what the functionality should be. Mm-hmm. And we whiteboarded it and prototyped it and came up with, you know, our version of what we thought customers needed early on. But really since then, the evolution and maturation of our product has been through our customers' eyes. So the list is really, really long on what has been changed and added. We're on our 3rd version now already as well. So we're on Enfos 3. Mm-hmm. So we've, you know, that upgraded not only the backbone technology, but also features and functionality. But we get, we have a very active customer success program, Sean. It's headed up by Tori Behrens.
Okay.
And she meets with clients and their teams on a very regular basis. And then we take that input into a quarterly software development process. Mm-hmm. And so 4 times a year, we do a new release that brings on new features. Okay. You know, some recent examples that I can think of, we've done a lot in automated project controls, mm-hmm. For scope management and cost management to help ensure that once budgets are set, they're not overcommitted or overspent. Down to the, you know, task and work breakdown structure level. Mm-hmm. That came from, you know, collaboration with customers. Visualization of financial information on maps is one. Almost like a geo accounting. You know, we're all as a geologist, like I am, we're used to working on maps and visualizations with our technical data, but looking at financial data on maps also adds a lot of value. Mm-hmm. I can look at, my high spend sites or my top 10 or my watch list or sites where we took a big accrual adjustment last year that we need to prioritize. And so I can do data visualization on those as well. And then we also do a ton of work around just the general user experience,
right?
Making it easier to use. And so much of the feedback on that comes from customers. So things like, you know, drag and drop, multiple tabs within the Enfos browser so they can split tabs and have, you know, 2 different content areas on their Enfos screen. favoriting pages and sites, creating portfolios.
Sure. You know,
so the list goes on and on, but it's a part of our culture for sure to take that feedback and bring it into the product.
So what type of like personas and roles are designed in the system for people? I mean, are there?
Yeah, I can take that. So, you know, Enfos is really designed to, as Roger said, it's been built through the eyes of the customer, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, as I mentioned earlier in our business development process, we're targeting the business owner. But the primary day-to-day users of Enfos are going to be the people that are actually managing the work. So, you know, the project and portfolio managers at the customer, their strategic partners, so their consulting partners, laboratories, contractors, the folks that are out in the field developing strategy and actually doing the work, they're a persona that we serve as well. And then you have the kind of ancillary staff within the client organization that may use Enfos. So this
admin,
is, you know, administrators, finance yeah. analysts, right. procurement, sometimes legal, right? And the idea with, you know, how it's designed and the use cases is that it's able to serve all these different roles.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Just giving them permission to have access to various screens or functionality.
Exactly.
In the system. Yeah,
right?
Right.
I mean, our vision, like most of us as knowledge workers, when you get into your office or home office, first thing in the morning, most people open up their computer, right? Second thing most people would do in our eyes is open up Enfos, right? That's where they're doing their work.
Right.
If
their
they're
work
in
environment.
This business. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, Well, so, okay, well, we're talking about all the different types of users. What's the relationship with the consultant community with Enfos? I got to imagine you guys have probably a pretty good connection there.
Yeah, I can't talk too much about the beginning because I wasn't there in the beginning, but from what I hear, that hasn't always been the case. I think in the beginning, there was maybe a misconception that Enfos might be a threat to the consultant community in some way. You know, who's this, you know, small little software company coming in and, you know, talking to our customers, right?
And
showing them new ways of doing business. But I think over time, as, you know, we've continued to grow and mature as a company, I think, I know, you know, a lot of consulting companies are now reaching out to us and looking for ways to partner with us. How can we help our mutual customers optimize their investment of Enfos?
Right.
How can we use the information that now our customers have other access to through Enfos to make better data-driven decisions or look for portfolio optimization opportunities, things like that? So I think through time and you know, present day, those relationships are beneficial, you know, to us and to them. And I think we have a good relationship with the consulting community.
So, I mean, are you guys doing specific, like, additional training for the community? Are you doing, any support there to help them kind of basically adopt and get more familiar with the product so that way they're being a better consultant for their client and your customer?
Yeah, there's a few ways. So when we roll out Enfos with a new customer, we do user training, and that's for all the users, right? So the client brings in their internal teams, but then they also bring in their strategic partners into those training sessions too. We also do user conferences.
Okay.
And at those user conferences, we have training breakouts, and those breakouts are, you know, kind of persona based, right? Some are directed more towards maybe the super users of Enfos, some more to the consulting partners, and, you know, some more towards the client organization. And then through these partnerships that I talked about earlier, some consulting organizations have actually started investing in building their own kind of center of excellence around Enfos internally.
Right.
And so we're providing additional support to those folks to help kind of, you know, get those teams a little deeper under the covers in into Enfos beyond what, you know, a normal day-to-day user might do.
Yeah, I got to imagine some of the bigger consulting firms that are being selected for some of these large portfolio management projects, you know, that are being engaged to, you know, do the work for the client. They need to know how to use Enfos, because if that's the product they're using, so there does need to be that center of excellence inside that company to help all their project managers learn how to use it as well when they're not talking to you, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it just, you know, again, getting back to the, you know, the goal here behind, you know, these relationships with consultants, at the end of the day, it's, you know, we have mutual customers, right? Yeah. And, you know, so let's serve them the best way we can. And if they've made an investment of Enfos, how do they get the most out of that investment? And sure. So I think that that partnership with those strategic partners is crucial for that.
So, you know, Enfos, I've heard about it for a while now, being in the industry myself and doing some remediation projects over the years and some compliance work and whatnot with some of the large companies that we both have mutual clients with. And but what type of competitors in this software type industry, you know, this type of, you know, software are there out there in the industry? I mean, do you have a true competitor in the market that's, you know, designed to do the type of offering that you offer through Enfos?
So exactly what we do and how we do it, no.
Yeah.
The short answer is no. There's nothing really commercial off the shelf out there that's domain specific to remediation that manages finance, environmental data, and operational compliance in one place. However, there are competitors and parts and pieces of those, right? So there's environmental data management providers out there.
Sure.
There's, you know, EH&S compliance applications out there. Certainly.
But you guys have pretty much figured out this whole, you know, legacy liability, financial requirements under the remediation project, because you guys are the domain knowledge, you know, people in this industry. I mean, you've done this for years. You've designed a system and a process that truly speaks
exactly
to that expectation and that, you know, that process.
Yeah. So I believe our biggest competitor is status quo. Keeping things the way they are, doing nothing or continuing along using spreadsheets or ad hoc, you know, bolt-ons to existing software, SharePoint sites, those sort of things.
Gotcha.
Right? The, you know, the business case for whatever reason just wasn't compelling enough to get them to move towards a new way of doing things, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's, well, you know, it's a big thing to take on a big program like that and implement it across, you know, an entire organization, especially if you've got, say, 10 or 15, you know, remediation project managers for a client who manages, you know, probably a handful of 5 to 6 different consultants of, you know, say 30 to 40 projects. I mean, that's a lot of details, a lot of track. I mean, that's a lot of information to manage. So, you know, what would an implementation process look like for you guys? You know, like how long does it typically take to roll out a program with a client?
Yeah, I'll take that, Sean. The before I get into like the timeline on the implementation, I've had conversations with the individuals that run these remediation programs and talk to them a little bit about, even about their career paths and some of the big milestone events of their careers. And what's interesting about it when it relates to Enfos is most of those folks aren't trained to buy enterprise software.
Right.
So it's new to them, even if they're, you know, 30 years into their career, they've done a lot of environmental work or engineering or science work. They've used a lot of software for that type of work, but they haven't purchased or gone through that buying journey you know, around the around an enterprise software for their business. So it ends up being a once in a career decision process for those individuals that's really responsible for running that business. So that's pretty cool if you think about it, right? They've done all this work for a long period of time. They've been very successful individuals, and this is the one and only time that they're going to go to bat to get an enterprise business application in place that's designed specifically for their business.
Well, and so then with your success rate, they won't need to buy anymore.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's it. You know, so to get it
done.
I know. Well, and they wouldn't want to do it again either. And that's where it moves me into the implementation process.
Sure.
Our out of the box standard implementation is 90 days.
Okay.
Those can be shortened based on customers' needs. So I think Tori set the world record for us one time when she did a 30-day implementation with a customer. You know, and they've gone for as much as 6 to 9 months as well, really depending on the scope and the magnitude. There's a few key variables. One of them is generally the size of their program. Is it a $20 million a year cost center, or is it a $500 million a year cost center, right? On their annual remediation spend. So scale has a lot to do with it. Scale brings in more people as well, right? So you've got more involvement from the other functions that are supporting it, like IT or finance and accounting, more people to train, more data to migrate in.
Yeah, I imagine that setup is challenging, getting all that data to set the whole stage for the use of the system.
Right. And then probably the other big variable that we see is their back-end accounting system.
Okay.
So, you know, it's their ERP system, right? The most common ones are SAP or Oracle Financials, but we see others as well.
Sure.
How many instances of the ERP are they running? So a lot of our customers are global. So they'll have an EMEA instance, maybe an Asia Pacific instance, a North America, South America. So we may have to integrate with multiple ERP systems. That involves some of our resources as well as some of theirs. So that sometimes can add duration to an overall implementation, but it, you know, it's, you know, normally 90 to 120 days.
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, that's a good timeline expectation, but I'm sure there's once it's implemented, there's still probably a considerable learning curve that takes time for these users to become proficient and knowledgeable about where to go and how to use the tool.
There definitely can be. And, you know, it's you know, some of the companies that have implemented Infos have invested more in the communication and training programs than others. I would say that the more that you can invest in the upfront communication and training and rollout planning, the better off you are on that, that learning curve. And others have maybe skimped on it some, and they've gotten the minimum viable training. They've all figured it out eventually. So, because it does work, the environmental consultants and laboratories, they will learn their piece very quickly. And you know what? It's not rocket science on why that happens. And that is because they want to get paid for the work that they're doing.
The customer. They're going to figure it out fast.
They're going to figure it out. They're going to learn how to, you know, create proposals. They're going to learn how to create invoices, follow the business rules, automate systems where they can from their systems into Infos.
So
and they'll pick it up real quick.
So you designed some like data integration tools to upload information into the systems. I mean, a lot of the clients have historical data that is massive. And they're like, well, I don't know how to get this into a system that actually makes sense of it. So I'm assuming, do you help clients do that part of their, you know, the integration?
We do. And there's really two pieces of that. There's the initial historical data migration. And, you know, we provide recommendations and suggestions, but ultimately there's a core set of data that needs to be migrated in order to get you live. Mm-hmm. And then there are some other optional areas that you can select, the customer can select if they want that much detail. Not every company goes back, 30, 40 years on some of these projects to try to migrate in every dollar spent.
Right.
By invoice, they might just say, okay, what have we spent on this site historically? And then what's our, balance moving forward? Mm-hmm. With the environmental data, it's the same way. It's usually some kind of a prioritization or a decision matrix to say, okay, what sites do we need the historical laboratory and field data on? Not all of them, because there's a cost to it, but some of them we do. And then we provide automated tools to do that, file formats with data specifications, requirements, and so on. Then the other piece, Sean, really is our new data, right, going forward. Mm-hmm. And that's the integration. And Infos, our strategy has always been to be very neutral on the actual data formats, mm-hmm. because there are so many industry formats out there, right? There are thousands of laboratory data formats, field data formats, different devices, handhelds, tablets, mobiles, remote sensing. Mm-hmm. And our philosophy has been to provide the data governance requirements around that, so we have good data coming in, but not try to enforce or be intrusive to the consultants who have their own systems and devices for field data collection and information submittal to their customer.
So do you guys provide like API integration?
We do.
Roadmaps for people so they can, integrate into the system?
Yeah, the API area has been active on our product roadmap for a while now, but it's really continuing to expand, and you'll see a lot more of that from Infos also over the next 6 to 12 months.
So I'm assuming you're consulting with some of the, or you're kind of following up with some of these consultants and looking to get some feedback from them on what type of, publishing APIs you can provide them, I'm assuming.
We are. Yeah, we definitely are. And those are some of the partner companies that Mike was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. where we can do marketing partnerships and implementation partnerships, but also technical partnerships as well.
Sure. Right. Well, so what are some of the challenges that maybe that are sitting before you to see this product grow, or, what's some of your like next level roadmap look like?
Mike, you want to start with that?
Well, so it's a roadmap, or there's kind of two parts there. So, biggest challenges, and then I think kind of what's next as far as our roadmap. My biggest challenge is, probably the same challenge that I've always had in this role, and that's competing for mind share with people that have a lot on their plate. Sometimes they've never heard of us, and the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, great, here's someone else that wants to waste my time, right? Mm-hmm. So, how do we, get over that? I mean, our approach on outreach is very value-based. It's, more about sharing best practices and kind of helping people understand that there might be a better way of doing things, right? Right. That's probably always been and will continue to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. And then what's the roadmap look like down the road for you guys? I mean, what are you thinking that could be added to the product or to enhance the product do you have any new target personas or audiences out there?
Well, we're very opportunistic in terms of functionality, Sean. So if a customer comes to us and say, hey, we're taking over asset decommissioning or, from another department, mm-hmm. We'll listen to that, and then we'll take existing functionality and improve it and blend it to help that customer take on that new role within their organization.
Sure.
Vegetation management is another example of that, right? If you think about the utility companies, the railroads, and so on. So we're always kind of getting asked to expand the use cases of Infos by our customers. And some of them will take that on and others we won't because it's maybe too far away from our core mission. But the ones that we do, those are exciting new areas. So, we're managing different types of cost centers, not just remediation and not just asset decommissioning with those.
So how have you handled customers with your IP, of developing a solution or, an actual, feature or function and protecting the IP for you guys to be able to use it for, other clients?
I can only tell you that if you sign an NDA, Sean. it's very critical. That's a major, major part of our contracts and agreements with our customers. And then our customers enforce that same IP requirement to their users who are consultants and laboratories and so on. But, our design, not our design, our delivery methodology has always been Infos is one strain of source code. We have one product and all ideas and suggestions and so on from any individual, they go into the product. In essence, it's Infos' IP, and customers get to take advantage of other people's good ideas. And that's really part of the value proposition that Mike and I talk to prospects about, is that you're never going to be stale. Like if you go out and design and build your own software, which no one hardly wants to do anymore, that's going to get stale. A product like Infos that's domain specific or purpose built, every quarter it's getting new features and updates that are coming from a very large base of, world-class companies that are managing remediation.
So everybody's winning because they're all contributing to the growth and input of the platform.
They are. And, challenge, where the challenge of the customers and the roadmap meet for us, really, we're going to do more of the same, right? We know that what we do and the foundation of it is essential. So we're going to do more of the same and continue to support that. Probably the area that we're focusing a lot of attention on in R&D is around expanding business intelligence, expanding artificial intelligence, basically machine learning. And then also, the API discussion that we had briefly, right? The most efficient, clean methodologies of getting data in and out of the system and integrating with other systems and platforms.
So, is your product mostly designed for U.S. North American clients, or are you really kind of stretching your wings here, getting into a bigger global, network of customers and, tracking waste or not waste, but tracking, projects in, China or Australia or,
India. For sure. Yeah, that's the part of the enterprise nature of Infos has always been that, Sean, because we knew our customer base were multinational, organizations that could be headquartered anywhere in the world, but certainly going to have projects on most or all of the continents, and that is the case. So Infos has a hierarchical structure that allows country-specific business rules to be established, like tax, as an example, or other workflow. Currencies. So,
Languages?
We are internationalized. Yeah. The two languages that we have customers using or have used are English and Chinese. We've got some other customers that are working towards some other languages as well, but the framework of the product is already internationalized to be able to operate based on the user's preference of their language.
Gotcha. Great. Awesome. Well, that's interesting. So, You know, we're kind of getting down to the end here a little bit, trying to keep we usually keep the podcast around, 45 minutes or so. And I think we're getting close to that mark and we're getting ready to kind of wrap up here. But, Mike and Roger, the podcast is called the Environmental Transformation Podcast. And so I usually wrap up the podcast asking the guests, it's like, so what are you doing to transform the industry as leaders in the business?
So I could talk for myself and Roger probably had his own, but there's three things for me that I am, incredibly focused on. One is helping people easily get the information they need to make better data-driven decisions.
Yep.
The second is helping the leaders of our client organizations create sustainable management practices to weather the storm of retirements, institutional knowledge loss, and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So helping leaders create sustainable management practices. And then the third is helping the consultant community focus on being able to provide value-added solutions to their clients by leveraging something like Enfos.
Right.
Things like
that's good.
Portfolio analytics and optimization and O&M optimization, BI, dashboard, more strategic stuff, right?
Sure.
And so I think there's a real opportunity there to help the consulting community to enable them to be able to do that for their customers.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Those are great three things there. That's awesome.
I would second all three of those, Sean. And, mm-hmm. We always like to be very focused on what we do. So the way I would answer the question around transformation for me is that, we've provided and are providing a purpose-built solution that allows the remediation function to be managed within a single system that complements their ERP system, which they're mm-hmm. going to be required to use because that's mm-hmm. the general ledger and the P&L and purchasing and AP and so on. But really what has always excited me is to be able to go to that executive director of remediation and talk to them about how they run their business, realizing that they're currently using 8 to 10 different systems before they go to Enfos. And then when mm-hmm. they go to Enfos, they have gone to one system. And, that is transformative.
Sure.
It's using an enterprise level application to give that individual a platform that they're using to run the business in the most, effective way.
Well, this is great. You guys, you guys are our first podcast to talk about, digital, transformation in the industry, and a product like Enfos is a major player in the business. I'm really happy that you guys got to come on the show today to talk about Enfos and what it can do and the value proposition it presents for, big companies that have these types of liabilities out there. So I guess one question that we can wrap up with is like, how do people get a hold of you guys if they want to learn more about Enfos and get some information from you?
Yeah. And Sean, just to reiterate what Roger said earlier, thanks a lot for having us. Really appreciate it. Both Roger and I are on LinkedIn. So someone could obviously find us there. Company website is www.enfos.com. If you, want to start a conversation directly, feel free to email me, michael@enfos.com or roger@enfos.com.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. Well, now this has been a great podcast show today. I think it's going to give the listeners a little, peek into, what you guys do and what the value is of in the program of Enfos. And, I'm sure there's going to be some consultants out there listening to this. I'm sure there's going to be, clients out there that are struggling with this type of topic and this type of situation in their business. And they may think about using Infos to help, you know, solve their problems. So I'm looking forward to hearing some feedback from you guys in the future, and bring you back on down the road. It'd be great to, you know, catch up with you guys when maybe something new part of your product goes out, and we can catch up then.
Sounds good.
Great. Thank you, Sean.
I want to thank our guests, Roger Well and Michael Douglas, for coming on to the show today. If you have questions about the Infos software product, please feel free to contact Roger or Michael via email or through their website at www.infos.com. I'll put a link to their contact information on my webpage as well. To listen to future environmental transformation podcasts, you can check us out on Anchor, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other podcast networks, or from my website at www.seankgrady.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, make a positive impact in someone's life today.